From the Len de Grint University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fifth day of July, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason in Chicago. It was an ugly trading day. We'll talk about that with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Hear Emerson and Knopfziger's take on what the condition of the crop is across the state of Illinois and update some information from Ed Ossett on his view of the marketplace during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn today at $5.92 and a quarter, down 27 and a half. December at $5.78 and a half, 29 cents lower. November beans at $13.16, down 79 and a quarter, and the nearby August at $14.39 and a quarter, 70 and a half cents lower per bushel on this Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Wayne, I had to actually take time today and look up the limit moves. The good news is we really didn't lock limit at any point during the day, and we didn't finish that way either. By the way, 50 cents for corn and $1.15 for soybeans. Those change every 6 months now on a regular schedule, I believe in May and November, so it can
be hard. Can change more often. We expand the limits if we go lock limit up. So those are they are big numbers, and fortunately we did not get to the big numbers. So that means that everybody that wanted to get in or out of the market today with a market order could do it.
Yeah, so it meant that the market was orderly today. While it was sharply down and continues a trend, it was orderly. What do we know about the triggers on this marketplace?
Well, I think, you know, first off, we saw that the People's Republic of China canceled 5 to 8 cargoes of beans from us. That was very disappointing. The other thing is the dollar, sharply higher, multiple year highs in the dollar, which doesn't seem to make a lot of sense in the way that our economy is running right now, but we're one of the strongest out there that way. So J.P. Morgan cut its GDP forecast. You know, basically we're looking at less income that way, and we're seeing the stock market go down. But what we're really seeing is $15 billion come out of the commodity futures markets last week. People just went to the sidelines and took their cash and went home. And that, along with the forecast of some more rain possibly the rest of this week and a little better chance of maybe some showers over here Thursday and Friday, some areas. And then we did see some rain in Iowa, parts of northern Illinois, some Wisconsin, and some over in some northern Indiana. None got down to me, but, you know, we're looking awful dry. And it was 98 when I went over to pick up lunch today. So pretty hot and dry in some of our areas.
So it's been a rough sell-off. I don't know that there's anything really to say about old crop other than do what you're going to do. New crop, however, I'm wondering whether the sell-off at this point may be overdone. I don't know whether that's the case. I base that off the WASDE numbers from June, which put out a season's average cash price for both corn and soybeans. They were at $14.70 for soybeans and $6.75 for corn. Those are using numbers that generate normal growing conditions the rest of the growing season out. So I suppose if you believe USDA NASS is correct, there's still some hope for the marketplace.
Yeah, there is. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff to go on here. You know, they expect the crop ratings to be down, corn and bean ratings to be down this afternoon and 2 to 3%. The guesstimate's 65% good to excellent on corn and 64% on beans. And you got to remember, we're still using that 177 on that corn. And if you stop and you think about it here, this has been some awful rough time through this time period of growth, with the dryness, the heat, and everything all combined, that we could see a 5 or 10% cut in a lot of the areas that had that big red drought area look on them around as we go. So, you know, that 177 might be a lot harder to achieve if we don't get some good general rain showers and not just an inch or less.
I suppose it'll take some time to figure out whether this is temporary or a move lower into, I don't know, just prior to harvest or early harvest, one of the two, I would guess.
You know, the sad thing is we keep talking about how short the world is of wheat and how that market's tight and whatever along the way, and we continue to fall with corn here. We're seeing not a real good basis for a lot of this wheat that's coming out of the field now. And a lot of the wheat that we had around here did over 100, and the test weight was good, and it's looking good. And we're still seeing some places as much as 50 under for wheat right now. And you would think that what's the value of that, that would be, that's the food one. The wheat's the one that really goes into food for people. So it's just a little bit surprising we're seeing that sort of basis right now in the wheat.
And wheat sometimes leads. It's off, what, $4 in the last 6 weeks or something like that. So we'll have to watch it all. Hey, thank you, Wayne. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Emerson Nafziger, Extension agronomist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, now joins us to talk about corn and soybeans and conditions in the field and what the crop looks like. Hi, Emerson. Thank you for being with us. Can you lay out corn for me to begin with? It's been an interesting year so far.
It has been, and overall it's been a really positive year, but this is one of those sort of thing in Illinois, but this is one of those times when a lot of people are looking at a very good crop, and quite a few people are looking at a crop that's been struggling with the dryness that we've had since the 1st of June. This is, you know, it's always frustrating, but it's always the case that when rainfall is low, it also tends to be hit or miss, and it certainly has been that. The other part of the story is that it's just been so dry and warm and sunshine and breeze. Our evaporation rates are kind of off the charts. An inch of rainfall, you know, provided the crop with a respite, gave it a needed boost, but was gone in a couple of days. And even though that jumped the growth of the corn and soybean crops pretty quickly and sort of dramatically in some cases, you know, we're waiting for the shift, and I hope it's here, that will tell us that the weather pattern is not going to continue that. The real question with corn is going to be how much yield have we lost as a result of this? Statewide, I would say it's, you know, not a huge amount, but there are certainly some locations, some counties, that it's likely to be pretty substantial. Sort of ironic, but this is one of those years when getting planted early might not have done much to save us. It's a question of how much cumulative effect has this had on the growth of the crop up to this point. You know, we're only a week to 2 weeks away from pollination in this crop, and it's a lot of the crop doesn't look like that. I mean, we would normally expect at that point in time to have the crop that's had higher or higher, and it certainly is in some fields. But in the driest fields, it is not. But it's hard to imagine that those are going to, you know, spring back now. They, after their sort of growth limitation that's been imposed by these daily rounds of leaf curling, and when leaves are curled, you can know that crop's really not doing anything out there except surviving. Photosynthesis is shut down. It's not taking in light, it's not using water, but it's not growing, and that's the critical thing. And we always try to speculate on, you know, what the kernel count is doing as this crop gets to this stage. It really needs to have initiated its ears, and when the pollen finally sheds, the tassels come out and the pollen finally sheds, what's this crop going to look like, and in particular, what will the ears look like? And that's something that we're just going to have to wait and see. I think that most of the crop planted in mid-May is in the driest areas. And I want to make clear that, you know, that's not everywhere. But in the driest areas, I think we've lost some yield potential. And I would not, even venture a guess at how much that's going to be. From that standpoint, it's not very positive. The positives are the canopy's in pretty good shape for the most part, although days of curling up means that, you know, leaves are not looking very healthy. The lower leaves may be looking a little paler than they're supposed to. You know, the crop's just not functioning. It's not taking up much water, so it's not taking up much nitrogen. And, you know, it will come back and look a lot healthier once the stress is relieved and we get some rainfall to boost yield. But our stems have probably been shortened by now. As we get about, you know, waist-high corn, the stem is elongating really rapidly when it has enough moisture. And we're going to probably see this crop that's been affected the most be the shortest. Now, the procedure, the process of dividing cells and adding nodes to the stem and so on is still going on. They just can't take up very much water at night. So those inner nodes are going to be shortened. Again, it can spring back from that, but it's got a lot of things to catch up on. One of them is likely root growth, certainly stem growth, leaf growth. You know, it's got to push out new leaves. Seeing a crop at pollination, you know, if it doesn't have a full canopy that's intercepting pretty much all of the sunlight, it doesn't have much of a chance. This year, the question is going to be, does it have the kernels on these ears to actually, you know, end up making a good yield if we get back to a better rainfall pattern?
Is there a lot of concern, or has it just been sort of biding its time and waiting for another rainfall?
There's not a huge concern. If the crop hasn't been under just, you know, daily stress for 2 weeks or more of June, I guess we'll throw that out as a sort of a dividing line. And quite a few, in the better areas of the state, that's certainly the case. Some of it hasn't been under stress nearly that much. Of course, as the crops get bigger, they use more water, and so they're more likely to go under stress as it gets to the same level of dryness. But we've had short corn before, and in some cases it's yielded really well. It very likely depends a little bit on why it's short. You know, if it's relatively cool during this, the June, second half of June, when the stems are, or when the stalks are really elongating, it can be that. This year we had the temperatures to have it really stretch during the month of June. If we had had good soil moisture, we'd probably be looking at a crop that's taller than normal. But as long as we've got the leaf area there, and as long as the plants have enough kernels on those cobs once pollination is completed, the height of the crop doesn't make very much difference.
What's your assessment of the Illinois soybean crop at this time?
It's probably not been badly hurt yet. You know, a little bit of rain made it pop pretty nicely here in the last week of June, and we'll continue to see that happening. A lot of people look at soybeans and figure if, you know, they're held back in their development a little bit in June, as long as they can make good leaf growth, that they haven't lost much potential. And I would say that's pretty much the case. We had a couple of cool nights, actually, which, again, people don't tend to remember very well, but that tends to postpone flowering. And, you know, the date that they first flower isn't that critical. What is critical is that they get conditions that keep those flowers coming on and the plants growing through most of the, we'd like to see it, you know, for at least the 3 weeks, full 3 weeks after they start to flower, which for much of our crop is going to be the, you know, sometime in the first or beginning of the second week of July. And that, you know, as long as we get good conditions after that, I think we have potential for really good yields. Both crops are benefiting. You know, dry weather means very little disease. And a lot of the soybean crop now, especially in areas where it rained, some in June, less than an inch in June. The soybeans, although they have been really kept fairly short, they have the ability to come on now. And not very much has been lost with the soybeans yet at this point.
You've been listening to a conversation I had with Emerson Napsicker, an extension agronomist on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Ed Ossett now joins us from University of Minnesota. He's an agricultural economist for Extension there. Hi, Ed. Thanks for being with us. I know you've been delving into some of the numbers and thinking quite a little bit about soybean crush in the United States. Can you give me some perspective on what your thoughts might be?
Well, the crush margins, just anecdotally, have been very good for a number of months. The soybean crush industry has been doing very well. And it's not something I track, Todd, day to day. And yet, just as a reminder, there are, by my count, 14 publicized, announced major expansions in the soybean crush industry coming over the next 3 years. 14 of them. By my count, something like $3 billion in investment in the soy crushing industry, 14 different projects. They're all big. Some of them are greenfield, that is brand new projects where soy crush capacity hasn't been before. And many of them are simply expansions of existing crush. And this just reflects that crushing margins have been very good in the last year or two. But now I take a look at the soy crush. It's down 33% in the last 2 months. There are quotes out there on the soybean crush. I'm looking at the December crush and margins. They're still good. They're still profitable. But this has been driven by a really strong soybean oil market. And I think many of your listeners have been tracking the oil market's been on the defensive. December soybean oil, I know, is down 20% in just the last 3 weeks. And this is what I think is driving that collapse in the crush. Does that mean that these, I'm not sure what it means for these 14 different projects, but as good as people must have felt 2 months ago, they might have different thoughts right now.
Given that information on crush, where do you suppose the price of soybean will go through the next several months?
Oh, boy. The next several months, I really believe, and this is not earth-shattering take on the market, we're trading weather right now as much as anything. Weather and a dampening of demand, if you will. We're starting to see on the edges of the demand for grains, things paring back a little bit.
What is your view of the export market for soybeans out of the United States, given the size of the crop in South America?
We're all watching China. I'm not smart enough, Todd, to comment on the Chinese actions, but they are the big player there. And if they resume their imports, that's a wonderful thing, or resume the pace of their imports as it has been. But I'm not sure where that's going.
Wheat sometimes leads the marketplace. Is that the expectation?
The July contracts in soft wheat and hard wheat and hard red spring, hard red winter, they're all off $4. $4 in the last 6 weeks. That's a big pareback, but like you say, it's still a good price for wheat, but $4 is a serious retracement. And I think it's all about a stalemate on the war front and a big Russian wheat crop on its way.
Grain stocks numbers. You have a rule of thumb that says do not carry, thou shall not carry, old crop corn stocks into the month of July. Clearly farmers have, based on the grain stocks numbers. What'd you think of them?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is... it's the most consistent piece of advice I carry out there over the last 20 years, telling people it just really doesn't pay. It pays some years, but it doesn't pay to hold your cash soybeans or corn beyond July 1. There's a couple factors going on that make that a truism over time. Again, there are exceptions. But one factor is there is a tendency for new crop futures, December corn and November soybeans. It's a tendency, not a certainty, but it's pretty firm, pretty strong for new crop futures to decline from spring, early summer to harvest. And we've had that going on now. If we look back over the last 6 to 8 weeks, that's one thing. The other thing is basis, which is not always true. I'd have to take a look at basis numbers here. But basis also tends to be higher in the spring, in the early summer, and weakens in the harvest. Now, your cash price is made up of two components, the futures and the basis. And you've got both of those factors have a strong tendency to decline from early summer in the harvest. If you're holding last year's crop in the bin, you're fighting, you're trying to swim against two powerful currents.
That's Ed Ussett. He's an agricultural economist from the University of Minnesota. Now, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. We're joined by Don Day. He's a day weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me about the weather forecast across the Corn Belt for the next few days.
Well, we're going to see more typical early July weather in the sense that we'll have plenty of heat out there, and we are going to see over the next 5 to 7 days some shower and thunderstorm activity. Really, there's going to be a pattern here really for, I would say, the next 3 days, next 4 days, where there's going to be shower and thunderstorm activity extending from the northern plains through most of the northern and western areas of the Corn Belt. So this is going to keep chances of rain in the forecast. A lot of heat and humidity with that as well, although we will see the center of the high pressure ridge, which is over Oklahoma and Texas, retrograde westward into the Central Rockies and Great Basin by this weekend and early next week. And that should allow temperatures to moderate, not a lot, but a little by this weekend.
Which parts of the Corn Belt get the most rainfall out of this system?
The Dakotas, both North and South Dakota, Nebraska, and especially Iowa. There's going to be thunderstorms transiting that area for 3-4 days in a row. And some of those are going to be some significant rain producers. Some of that will get into northern Illinois, northern areas of Indiana. As you go further south, south of the Iowa border with Missouri, into southern Illinois, eastern Kansas, down into Oklahoma, those areas are going to be where I think it's going to be harder to get it to rain. But the northern fringes, basically I would say the I-80 corridor just north and south, is going to, at least for the next 5 or 7 days, have adequate rain chances.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online, listen to us on demand whenever you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find our daily programming, this program, the Closing Market Report, our weekly programming, Commodity Week, and information from the agricultural economist, crop scientist, and animal scientist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. The theme song for the Closing Market Report is written and performed in courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.